back to throw. Young almost falls down. Throws to the end zone.
What is up, faithful? Welcome back to another episode of Move the Chains. Coming back to you guys after a huge win over the LA Chargers. I'm going to make that mistake, so bear with me. We are back at 5-4. We got a big win off the bye week. Before I continue any further, with me as always is Alex. What's going on, Alex?
What's up, Sean? What's up, faithful? You're right, Sean. We got the win, 22-16. We don't see that score very often.
Yeah,
but, for a good reason. One thing, you know, one thing about this one, it's our first win that's a close game. Our previous wins were all blowouts. So this is one of those wins that builds character for the season, especially as we're going into the second half. And like you said, Sean, we are 5-4, so we're above 500. And again, with back-to-back wins, hoping to make it a third later this week.
That is correct, man. You know, again, it's one of those football cliches. I think if anyone watched the post game thing in the locker room with all the guys, Kyle even said it, right? He goes, "Hey guys, this is not how we planned it, not how we thought it would go, but good teams find a way to win this type of game." You know, this is the kind of game where I had that. I'm not saying I lost faith or anything, but you have that sinking feeling when it was 13-3 and. You know, it's just the things like, you know, the fumble, a couple of the penalties here and there that are keeping them in it. The block punt, right? And we'll go more into some of this stuff, but, you know, it had the makings of the Chicago game or of the Denver game, right? I mean, those two had a similar kind of a feel. Yeah. So I think it was big, right? I mean, first of all, the 10-point deficit, right, Alex? I think, you know, we were messaging back and forth throughout the game. And, first of all, credit to the Chargers, man. They were down their top two receivers, their top tight end. They're missing a lot of players. You know, as Niner fans, we can definitely relate. So they came out and had a really good game plan for how they attacked us. You know, we knew Eckler was going to be a problem coming out of the backfield. That first drive was amazing. They were up 7-0 before you could even finish your first beer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that first drive. Hufanga, I think he stated that himself, that he was kind of peeking in the backfield and he got burned for it. That was that first touchdown that the Chargers score. I think it was their opening drive. So they go up 7-0. And luckily for us, that was the last touchdown that they scored throughout the game.
Yeah, that's 100% correct, man. Yeah, they marched right down the field. I think they had two run plays that we stuffed. And that's the thing. The run defense was encouraging because there was a bunch of plays where we just stuffed them completely for no gain right at the line. You know, they could not execute their blocks. Our defensive line played a hell of a game. So, they did get open a little bit in the secondary on that first drive. But, you know, credit to D'Amico Ryans. Some of the, you know, the advanced stuff that it's even above. You know, my head, if I understood it, I'd be a coach myself. But he did a lot of, different things with the blitzing again, where he had Nick Bosa drop into coverage just to throw everything off.
Yeah.
And then blitz on the other everywhere. Side. Right. So,
yeah, he had him on both sides. Yeah. He had him doing stunts. Yeah. Bosa.
Right.
Yeah. Off.
It was. Right. Go ahead. Sorry, Alex.
No, yeah, you're good. Our first opening drive, we go all the way. It looked like we were going to go for a touchdown, right? It was Eli Mitchell getting first downs. I think McCaffrey had a first down or two. But they were moving up that field. And just in typical 49er fashion, we get up there and we score a field goal. We score 3 points, like you, like Sean, you like to say, you know, you leave 4 points on the field.
4 points on the field, yeah.
Yeah, man. And that missed field goal, no, the missed extra point, is one of those cringy moments where earlier you mentioned, Sean, that it had the makings of one of those I can cuss. What am I saying? It had the making one of those, you know, that Broncos game earlier this season. Just that, you know, you mentioned it, that Bears game, just an ugly game where, you know, the ball is going to roll over to their side and they're going to end up winning. But
it's those little things that bite you. Speaking of special teams, man, I feel like we should probably talk about that now. If you watch closely, you know, we did have that field goal blocked, which prevented us shutting out Seattle, which would have been nice. Because, you know, that fan base is just full of it. It would have been nice to shut them out. If you look closely, that guy on the very edge from the left side, I'm not sure who it is that's lining up to block there. But that guy almost always gets around the other guy, meaning from the defensive team, our opponent. He almost always gets around to block the field goal. So I don't know what they're doing with their protection scheme or how they're sliding or how they're redirecting that, the blockers. But yeah, something needs to be adjusted there. Cause I mean, heck, imagine we're in a tight scenario. We're in a late December game and we need to kick a field goal to take a lead or potentially win a game and we get blocked. You know, I'm going to knock on wood right now as I say that, but, things like that. And then, Alex, I think you mentioned that block punt, man. I think you messaged me right as it happened. Like, come on.
Yeah, it's just they were talking about in the broadcast that he has that Australian style stance. I don't know. It's like angled stance.
And yeah.
It allows him to banana kick the ball. I guess the point is that he wants to kick the ball where it rotates in a you know, potential situation where it can hit the floor at the right position where it can kind of roll back and not roll it into the end zone. I think that's the main goal. But even his other punts throughout the day were bad. They were just going out of bounds.
Out of bounds,
He wasn't getting it.
That block, though, if you look close, he did this thing where he kind of double clutched and he spins the ball around in his hand, almost like a quarterback does looking for the laces. You know, so I think you don't have that kind of time. It's a rhythm thing, right? It's a snap, you know, catch as a punter, kind of you receive the ball and kick it.
If your O-line isn't helping, you know, it makes it even worse.
Yeah.
But, highlight to the defense, because after that block punt, we only allow a field goal. And they were already in our side of the field after that block punt. I'm pretty sure they were, I think, on the 49.
It was around the 40,
Around our side, And then previous to that, there was a fumble, on Ayuk. He caught the ball. He was trying to get some extra yards. And one of the defenders' crown of the helmet, hits the ball behind Ayuk, and then it pops forward. So that was a fumble. And when you see that play, I really don't blame Ayuk. It's one of those just freak accidents. You know, the ball's going to pop out if it gets hit by a helmet at that type of velocity.
Long-term Niner fans will remember the names Roger Craig and Lawrence Taylor. Same thing essentially happened that day. Crown of the helmet just knocked the ball out. You know what? I had that same thought as, you know, watching IU. He's very good at those, I'd say, 12 to 17 yard dig routes, right? He finds the soft spot where he needs to. A lot of, we know this, right? A lot of with wide receivers, the problem isn't being able to catch or run. It's learning how to get to the open spot in the defense, right? You have to be able to read the defense just like a quarterback does. So he does a very good job at finding that open spot. And I think of all the throws that Jimmy makes with consistency, right? That's the one that I don't get nervous about. I feel like he knows how to put the ball onto Ayuk's hands, whether it's a little bit high or a little bit, you know, he puts it in where it needs to be. They have good chemistry there. So that's something that I'm definitely happy about. But yeah, that fumble, you got to just go down there. You know, and you could say, hey, the referees could have blown it. You can't expect the referees to bail you out. You got to just get down on the ground. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, they're the Yak brothers, for a reason, right? They always try to get that extra yardage. But shout out to Jimmy as well. He had a really good game. Like you mentioned, Sean, he had some really good passes. One of them later in the game, or I think around the middle of the game, it was a really nice touch pass to Ray McLeod. It was pretty similar to the one last week to McCaffrey that ended up being a touchdown pass. I mean, touchdown pass to McCaffrey. It was a situation where Jimmy is scrambling and McLeod has the awareness to just, you know, go for a go route. And Jimmy places it right in his hand. So that was a really good pass.
And I think I saw this online, actually. They were calling it third and Jennings, right? Third and Juwan.
Third and Juwan.
Right. And you know what? He steps up in those moments.
Yeah.
I mean,
there's a stat out there.
Right? What was that?
There's a stat out there. It's like since 2021, I think 18 of his 20 third down catches have been for first downs or touchdowns.
Wow. That's unreal.
18 out of 20. And I think he was targeted about 28. Not 100%. I'm off with these numbers, but very high percentage for third down for third down conversions and touchdowns. So impressive.
That is, you know, yeah, that's as special as it gets, man. But on that note, we were 9 for 17. That's what I have here in my notes. 9 for 17 on third down. You can, you know, obviously there's certain stats, turnovers, you know, sustained drives, third downs, yardage that can give you an idea of whether we're not going to win a game. Third down is a big one with this current group of guys. When we convert our third downs, we don't even necessarily have to score a ton of points or have insane numbers. But if we're sustaining drives, you know, and moving the ball and dominating time of possession like we did, it was almost 2-1. It was nearly 40-20. It was like 37-23 time of possession in this game. So those are all great, you know, as far as how Shanahan wants to win with this team, that's just how it goes.
Yeah, and that's a good point you bring up, right? The way Kyle wants to win with his team. There's all these weapons and we're seeing Ayuk emerge and we know what Debo can do, but we're still seeing these wide receiver screen plays, these, you know, running back screen plays. And it's frustrating sometimes because you see McDaniels on the other side of the country and he's out here airing it out to Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle.
Yeah. Well, I know Kyle had some doubters last year and even this year early on. I'm an admitted Kyle Shanahan homer. I can go on record as saying that he's doing this with a quarterback that he did not want. He's succeeding in spite of the quarterback, right? And Jimmy has good numbers. You know, he's just a hair shy of 2,000 yards in 8 games played. Essentially, let's call it 7 because I don't really count the Seattle one. Those are good numbers. That's on pace for 4,000 yards. You know, those are numbers we haven't seen since Jeff Garcia. You know, Joe Montana, I don't think he ever cracked 4,000 yards. Obviously,
I'm not saying this to, you know, hate on Jimmy or Jimmy's limitations, but before the season started, most people would say that Jimmy was a better quarterback than Tua. Tua was still somewhat of an unknown.
That's true.
The only argument I can kind of have against McDaniel or his success is that there's still not enough gameplay or footage out there where teams, you know, on the second time around, there's going to be more footage and more information that these teams can use, you know, to better strategize and game plan against Tua. So it's kind of like Kaepernick in his early days, Jimmy Garoppolo going down that stretch in 2017, winning five games in a row. There wasn't that information. It was just kind of like, you know, out there backyard football and it was working. But going back to the way Kyle wants to play, he wants to just run the ball. Right. Mm-hmm. He wants to get 5, 6, 7, 8 yards. He wants to get first downs. And I mean, it looked like he was doing that with Eli Mitchell and McCaffrey in this previous game. It was beautiful, man. Eli Mitchell looks great coming back. I mean, he missed like 8 games. He missed most of the season. I think he was out on the first game.
Yeah. And, it was the first drive.
Yeah, man. He came back. He came back looking good.
Fresh legs. Good. And I'll tell you, it reminded me a little bit. I'm not saying he reminds me of Gore, but as far as how the game went on and he got stronger, you know, the defense started to wear down a little bit where he was breaking these runs. So if we can get McCaffrey and Mitchell kind of that two-headed monster, oh man, that's going to open up so much for us. Cause I think the one thing where we struggled early on, you know, in Chicago against Denver, definitely against Atlanta, definitely against Kansas City was being able to run the ball consistently. Right. I mean, the threat wasn't necessarily there. We had McCaffrey, he'd been there for 48 hours, right?
Yeah, but he shined. And I think this game, we were hoping for McCaffrey to shine like he did against the Rams. But you know what? The numbers don't do justice. I think the numbers say he is under 3 yards a carry. But a lot of the early carries he was taking, he was getting first downs. He was moving the ball. I think he was just towards the end of the game where he was kind of getting stuffed. But you know, Eli Mitchell was there to kind of carry that burden. And overall, I think we ran for over 150 yards. So that is the way Kyle Shanahan wants to win, and that's the way he wants to play. It's run the ball and play good defense and no turnovers. That's it.
Yeah. And speaking of the defense, we were able to, I think, a really big part of the game, real big sequence. It was 10-3, and Herbert avoids a sack and throws an absolute laser across his body. NBC had a great shot of it. And he hits his receiver. I think it was whoever the returner is. I can't remember his name right now. DeAndre Carter. Yeah, Herbert fires the pass. And Carter ends up running up the field. We tackle him at about, I'd say, maybe about like the 5 yard line. Okay, here we go. Let's see. I had to look it up. It was a 33 yard completion down to the two. But, and here was a big play. They had a false start. And that put him back at the 7 yard line. Bosa then sacks Herbert, and then we're able to hold him on 3rd and 8. We held him to a field goal there. If they go up 17-3 there, I think we're in trouble. Number one, yeah. It's a little bit of a mental victory to hold him to three, but also beyond that, two full scores like that is tough to come back from. Our offense has not been in that kind of rhythm this year. You know, 2019, maybe just the way we were playing, it was a different mindset, just different principles. Right. But that was a big moment. I think I give a real credit to the defense because, you know, from there on out, you know, I feel like I said, I always get on our team about the field goals, the whole 4 points on the field. For them to settle for a field goal there, that's two field goals that they've kicked. You don't get to the 2 yard line on the road against a good team, they being the Chargers, and settle for field goals like that. That is how you lose these games.
Yeah. You know? Did that last field goal bug you?
Which, ours?
Yeah, the one to go up to 22 rather than going for the touchdown.
That one did, only because it looked like we were going to go for it, but Mitchell lost his footing. Levi Stadium's grass has been better. I know the first couple of years, there was a lot of complaints. There was a lot of issues with the way the grass was taking
root. Drainage, I think it was, right?
And, you know, I know we had some rain over the last couple of weeks here in the Bay Area, but, I mean, nothing that day. So I'm not quite sure what was going on there. But I think it was just him. It had been a little bit of rust, just a step early, you know, when you try to jump, you know, make that cut too early. But yeah, no, so I really took note of that moment. I think one of the other turning points, this was about the midway through the third quarter, and we were in 3rd and long, and Garoppolo completed a pass to Kittle for his only catch of the night. He ended up breaking a tackle or two, got about 15 to 20 yards.
Yeah, typical George Kittle style.
Right, that exactly. You know, where he kind of drags a guy a couple yards and gets up celebrating. I think those two kind of sequences, because I think we really got going after that offensively. We got into a little bit of a rhythm. We were able to, you know, impose our will a little bit on them.
So we mentioned last episode that we haven't beat this team since December 2000.
That was our longest active losing streak, not in terms of number of games, but as far as the last time we defeated them. So That's good to get that little thing. That's those little things as a fan. I know they don't affect any guy in the locker room. I don't think any player in the locker room cares that we lost to them in 2006. How does that affect them, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, as a fan, it's those little things. Yeah.
It's the little things. Yeah, you don't want to see 20 years of not beating a team. You want to make sure you beat a team at an appropriate time.
And then for those keeping score at home, the next up on the list now is the Colts. We have not beaten the Colts since 2001 in a game in the RCA Dome. So we've lost them in 05, 09, 13, 17, and 21.
Oh, shit.
That, yeah. So it's been 21 years. And we don't play them again. I know with the new 17-game schedule, we may play them. We could end up playing them next year or the year after, but we definitely will play them in 2025.
We're going to play them in the Super Bowl. What are you talking about, man? Jeff Saturday is taking them right? all the way, dude.
Jeff Saturday. But yeah, actually, that game, a little side note. If you've seen the clip of Jim Mora saying, playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs.
Yeah.
That was the game. That was the game. That's the one we beat the Colts that day. Dude, he was particularly upset because his son, Jim Mora Jr., was our defensive coordinator.
Oh, okay. I think
he was our defensive coordinator. We picked off Peyton Manning four times that day, and we beat him. We put 40 on him, 40-21, if I remember correctly. I don't know how I remember this stuff, but I do. playoffs? Yeah, that was
history.
Alex, we got to get sound bites on this, man. That'd be a perfect time to
playoffs.
Ooh, yeah. No, I can do that. Yeah, I can put it in there.
Yeah.
Don't talk about it. Playoffs.
Add it in during the editing. Playoffs?
You kidding me? Playoffs?
All right, cool.
So yeah, this last topic we want to cover before we move over to the game in Mexico City against the Cardinals is the talk of the town, the penalty against Greenlaw that ended up getting him ejected. So this is just something I've been researching and looking up, and just what we're hearing from social media is just, this is something that it's the first time that's happened this season, a player getting ejected. I think it's the first time that's happened. I can't think of another time that's happened. I think what they're looking for is helmet to helmet. They're also looking for, how does that play look? It looked pretty ugly, right? Justin Herbert gets hit and his head turns, his helmet almost came off, and it was helmet to helmet. And then I think also that he's a quarterback. I think that weighs in into the calculations.
I think subconsciously it does, but it's not supposed to, because at that point he's no longer. He's officially a runner. And I think, look, I think it was Terry McCauley on NBC's podcast. He said, look, what you're supposed to look for is, does he keep his head up as a defender? And, he doesn't lower his crown of his head and try to spear him, right? He's not doing that. He's trying to hit him with the shoulder to shoulder. So, I used to get really upset about this because this happened a lot in the Harbaugh years when Dante Whitner was getting penalties for that, hitting her, which I kind of disagreed with marketing that because, hey, let's just bring more attention to it. But anyhow, there would be times where he has, this is a bang, bang play. We can't watch it in slow-mo and expect him to suspend the laws of physics, right?
Yeah.
If I'm going to make that tackle, right, and this receiver's coming towards me, if he has his direction changed, but I have already started my, my lunge towards him, how the hell am I supposed to change that in midair? Right? I mean, some of these rules need to be looked at again. I understand player safety, but what is he supposed to do? Let him catch the ball? Right? Or if you're Greenlaw, what are you supposed to do? Let him just keep running by you.
Yeah. And something we mentioned off air, Sean, is, some of these quarterbacks are big. Herbert, I think he's 6'6". He's not a small dude. It's not Kyle Murray. Josh Allen is, I think, 6'6", 240 pounds. I mean, these are big dudes as well. So in a way, I mean, Greenlaw has to protect himself. So it's, only natural that he kind of bends over a little bit to take in the impact. But at the end of the day, it wasn't intentional. I don't think if you want to give him a 15-yard penalty, go ahead. Right. I think that calls for a 15-yard penalty in today's NFL. But an ejection, a player out of a game that we get 17 games, right? We get 17 games a season. It's not the NBA where you get 82. I mean, these games, they weigh in heavily.
They all matter. Yeah,
they all do matter.
I mean, this isn't Vontaze Burfict. Headhunting.
Oh, against, goodness, yeah.
That's the other one I can think of, actually. I think they ejected him when he hit Antonio Brown.
I think that's probably the only other ejection. Yeah. But, see, ejections, to what I understand, would have to be too rough, too unnecessary
right.
roughness, right? Or what would you say? Like, two of those hits would call for an ejection.
So I believe the college rule, too, is that you get one towards it. It's like a flagrant foul in the NBA. If you get two flagrants or two technicals, you get ejected. Right. Similar concept. So, yeah, I mean, you know, there's not much we can say. We definitely needed to address that. But I think, you know, there was a lot of support coming out from former players, from just the general NFL fan base saying, hey, that should not have been an ejection. I think even a lot of Charger fans are saying, hey, you know, yeah, maybe give us the 15-yard penalty, but don't eject the guy for that.
Don't eject the guy. Yeah.
There was no malicious intent. He was not trying to hurt him. You know, I mean, for Herbert, he was diving head first. Not only was he no longer a quarterback, he didn't slide. They let you slide feet first if you don't want to get hit. If you dive head first, you're going to get hit. That's just, you know, that's just what common sense would tell you.
Yeah, and the sad thing is this is going to set a new standard in the NFL. So this is the first one this season. You know, we might see another one. Hopefully not, but since they called it Sunday Night Football, everyone's watching.
That's
they
a called good point, it
there, man. You know, we're going to start seeing it sprinkled in. Yeah. Let's wrap up this Chargers game. You know, again, we mentioned we held them to 0 points in the second half. Only 52 yards in the second half. So I feel like our defense is back and we still
same thing against the Rams. We shut them down in the second half.
Yeah.
That is music to my ears. Yeah.
So next up, we're going to Mexico. It's Monday Night Football. It's going to be against the Cardinals. This is one of those fun games where it's technically an away game, but it's not a Cardinals home game.
Yeah.
So this is kind of a little upper hand we have.
So this game has a little bit of historical context. If you go back to 2005, we also played Arizona in Mexico City in the same stadium, Estadio Azteca, and it was also a Cardinals quote unquote home game. So we didn't lose a home game in that shuffle. So, which was cool for us. So we have 9 games at Levi's, 7 on the road, and then this sort of neutral side game. So, you know, this is big. I mean, you saw that crowd in Germany last weekend, how much they enjoyed the game. There was something like 3 million ticket requests. You know, I know I've complained as a former season ticket holder. A lot of fans have complained, why are you taking the team, you know, out of the States? We're making them fly around the world, do this and that. Hey, but you realize, you know, there's a huge demand for it, right? There's actually a following of the NFL. So it's not back in the day they used to play preseason games. I know there was a Cowboys Raiders preseason game in Mexico City. They used to play a game in Japan. The Niners played a bunch of games in Japan way back when. But yeah, we are going to Mexico City. 7,000. What's the elevation there, Alex? Have you been there? I got to ask, have you ever been to?
No, man. Mexico City, I've never been there. I know that we are practicing in Denver accustomed to the 7,000.
No, so I think that's a good preparation. Obviously, there's nowhere better to practice than in Denver, right? You know, given that they have similar elevation, right? But yeah, I mean, speaking of the, like we said with the Chargers, not a lot of good recent history. We have not played well against the Cardinals. And I mean, that's not because they were some powerhouse team. It's just that we've had some bad losses to them. 3-11 in the last 7 years.
Yeah, not good. 11,
including an 8-game losing streak at one point. So they swept us last year. That really cost us. Had we beaten them last year, we would have been number one in the division. We would have won the division because we were 2 games behind the Rams and we beat them twice. So that's what separated us from being at home in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, even though with all those stats against us, I'm not really scared. I think there's talks about Colt McCoy, you know, might start this game. I know last year he whooped our ass.
He did.
I think that was the game, Sean, you mentioned to me, that was the game that we ended up 3-5. It kind of seemed like the season was done.
It seemed like that was a backup quarterback. Yeah.
But
I was there at that game, man. I was there, and I've never been more frustrated to be at a game.
Dude, that's
I've never left a game early, and I'm not going to say I thought about it, but yeah, that was just about as frustrating of a game. James Conner had the game of his life. I don't have the stats in front of me, but I can remember it.
Yeah.
It's just, and the thing is, the Cardinals are one of those teams where even though they're in our division, you can go to a Niners Cardinals game at Levi's. You don't see a lot of Cardinal fans, right? I mean, I can go to Niners Broncos. You'll see a lot of Bronco fans. You'll see a lot of Seahawk fans, a lot of Ram fans, right? They'll obviously Cowboys, Steelers, Bears, those are different example, Packers. But yeah, the Cardinals, they don't have that kind of presence. But that day, I will say, and they've beaten us there before. I've been there for several losses now at Levi Stadium to the Cardinals. And that was probably the one that stood out where I could, you know, hear audible, you know, cheering for the Cardinals. So, yeah, that's, I mean, again, that's history. That doesn't matter to the players. Most of this roster wasn't even on the team. Like he said, Kyler Murray potentially is going to be out. You know, his Call of Duty commitments. For those who don't get the reference
this time,
for those who don't get the reference, some fans on one of those meme pages did research. Whenever a new Call of Duty game releases or an update releases, I'm not a game player myself. I don't know the terminology, but whenever that comes out, Kyler Murray does not have a good game that week. Because apparently he spends a lot of time playing games. So that's a joke people have made. They list him questionable for Call of Duty. But in all seriousness, he's kind of banged up. He has an injured hamstring. And you wonder with, you know, a lot of his game being scrambling, if he's hobbled, how can he really go?
Yeah. And then kind of tying into the Call of Duty, Kyler Murray. I mean, they have a history under Cliff Kingsbury to have a bad second half of the season.
Oh, yeah, that's right, man.
And then we mentioned this last episode. We'll talk a little bit more about it now. Is, they signed up to this mid-season HBO Hard Knocks, and I think that's just a big mistake. I think it's a big distraction for a team that needs to focus and kind of recollect themselves. Most of you might have seen that clip that was circling around social media of Buda Baker giving that emotional speech to his teammates. I mean, that's great and all, but a lot of that is just for show. It's just for that HBO Hard Knocks. And I don't know, man. I think it's just a bad idea. I think it's going to steer them in the wrong direction.
I agree with that. I want to steer as far clear of Hard Knocks as possible. In season Hard Knocks, that's just, like you said, for a team that's had a meltdown. You know, they started 8-0 last year. They finished 11-6, right? They did not finish well, strong down the stretch. All right. And, I think, look, it's a young coach. It's a young team. And they've had some spats on national TV now. I think, what's his name? Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins were yelling at each other. Murray and Cliff Kingsbury were going at each other, so.
I think he was saying relax or
something like that. Yeah. We're trying to lip read, right? See what he's saying. But like I said, he's a young quarterback, young coach, young team. Hopkins is probably the elder statesman in the locker room.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I was going to say Hopkins is really the only one we are going to be looking out for in the offense. It's really just Hopkins. And defensively, it's JJ Watt, Buda Baker. I mean, there's not much of a presence that I can think of.
Yeah, they got
really having an outstanding.
They no longer have Chandler Jones, who used to give us problems.
That's right. He went to the Cardinals. Raiders.
He's with the Raiders, but he gave us problems.
I don't even think he's even playing with the Raiders. I have not heard.
He's playing. Jones. He's playing.
He's playing. Him. Okay.
Yeah, he's not playing all that well, I think, but he's definitely on the field. For those who don't know, he's the brother of John Jones. If you're a UFC fan at all.
Oh, that's right.
Brothers, and they have another brother named Arthur Jones who played for the Ravens. So, again, you know, with the Cardinals, they've had some injuries. They've had some turnover with their roster. They lost Christian Kirk. They have Hollywood Brown now from the Ravens, Lamar Jackson's former favorite target. It's a little hard to scout them because, again, this is our first time playing them. And I don't know. I don't know about you, Alex. I always used to prefer playing all three division rivals once early in the first 2 months and then playing them again in the last 2 months. So look at this. We're November 21st, and we still haven't played the Cardinals once yet, right? We're already done with the Rams, and we've played the Seahawks. So we play them here in Week 18. That's why I'm not a fan of that whole forced Week 18 division rival thing with the division matchups. That's a Roger Goodell concept.
Mm.
That's why we only ever play Arizona, Seattle, or the Rams. Yeah, you know, with Hopkins, he's had some good games against us. I think the one that really pops out was week one, 2020, when they played in the COVID year, the empty stadium at Levi's.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I know he went off for It was over like
150.
Over 150 yards. Yeah, he just killed us. And it wasn't one of those where he had, you know, one catch that went for 80 yards or 70 yards. No, no, no. He was just carving us up for 18 to 20 at a time. And we had no answer for him. Right. Mm-hmm. But I do like to say, though, that that's why we spend the money on a guy like Mooney Ward.
Yep.
Exactly. Shout out to Mooney Ward. He had another pass breakup on Sunday night against the Chargers. So,
yeah. I think that's why Diamondo Lenore, he had a defensive pass interference, but I mean, there wasn't much after that. After that initial, this is his second year, you know, and he was a fifth round pick. So that's the difference between 2020 and 2022. Our corners, our DBs, they're much more adequate to stop somebody like DeAndre Hopkins. But he is a player that, you know, like you mentioned, Sean, a couple weeks ago, with any particular player in a team, he's going to get his, right? He's going to have his catches. He's going to have, you know, hopefully we can limit him under 100 yards, but more than likely he'll have 100 yards and he'll have a touchdown. But it's just kind of maintaining him at that level.
Yeah. One other thing I wanted to point out, actually, they are the 30th ranked defense, just as the Chargers were last week entering the game, in points allowed. So they are not very good on defense. I think here's another chance for us to, you know, maybe, you know, open things up a little bit. I didn't quite see that, you know, in the Chargers game. We didn't have that rhythm. Like when you see the Niners have rhythm, that's when those trick plays come out, right? Like the touchdown from McCaffrey to Ayuk, right? The trick plays and just some of the more creative stuff. What do you think about that?
Yeah, you know what? Let's hope that Kyle, you know, saved most of his tricks for this international game, right? To show off in an international country and just make it a big show. So hopefully this is the game where Jimmy Garoppolo has over 300 yards passing for 3 touchdowns. And, you know, it's smooth sailing and we're winning 31-14, 31-10. Yeah, because other than that, I mean, this team, there's not much to talk about, sadly. I mean, Kyler Murray is having a quiet year. Receivers don't really stand out. DeAndre Hopkins recently came back a few weeks ago from, I think, a suspension. Kyler Murray is their main rusher. I mean, it tells you right there, they don't really have a standout running back. And when it comes to defense, the names that stand out are Budda Baker, J.J. Watt, and linebacker Simmons, Isaiah Simmons, I believe. I mean, other than that, this is not a team. You mentioned it, Sean, they're 30 in defense. So they're not in a situation where they're, you know, heading towards any type of playoffs this season. So it doesn't look good in Arizona.
And you know what? They were kind of like that hot, trendy pick for a couple years now. You know, ever since Murray got there.
Yeah, Kyler's been like an MVP dark horse like a couple years in a row.
Right. I never bought into it. I know they gave us problems, but even that year when we swept them in 2019, you know, they gave us problems on Halloween night in Arizona. And then they were up 16-0 on us in Levi's Stadium a couple weeks later. So we've, you know, as much as we've owned McVay and the Rams, you know, Kingsbury's giving us some problems. I do think, like I said, we have better cornerback play. And I think the linebackers and the defensive line are doing a better job with these running quarterbacks. I don't know. I haven't seen the Cardinals play a whole lot this year myself, as much as we usually do. But I don't know if they're as good with the screen game and some of the misdirection stuff that does give us problems. So that should be something to watch out for. Again, obviously Hopkins, that's a guy that can take over a game. You don't want to let him get going.
And then before we end the episode, you reminded me, Sean, just by what you just said, you know, shout out to the O-line. If you guys watched that Chargers game, Jimmy Garoppolo had a lot of time in the pocket in multiple plays. Yeah. And I think Aaron Banks has not allowed a sack this season. So that's awesome. I think we have a really good top 10 offensive line in the NFL. So, you know, the biggest question mark entering the season, the biggest worry. And currently, you know, we're not really worried except for, you know, McGlinchey. I think that's the only one that we're worried about. But so far, I mean, they're doing a really good job.
Yeah, it's this is, again, we talk about this all the time. It's a winnable game on paper. There's no reason why we shouldn't be able to play our brand of football. Let's, you know, go to Mexico. Let's get a win, come back healthy. And then beyond that, if you're looking at the schedule, we have three consecutive home games.
Yep.
We do not have, we do not leave State of California. We do not leave Levi Stadium after that until December 15th when we have a game in Seattle. So this will be, you know, the last time we leave for a while.
Yeah, hopefully we can make it three in a row and just really launch ourselves into the second half of the season and start stacking these wins and position ourselves for that divisional title in a weak NFC, you know, at the very least, that seventh seed. So I think that's going to do it for this episode. Sean, do you have anything else? Anything else you want to add?
No, I just, I mean, heck, I wish I was going to Mexico with them. That would be, I've been a couple of times and I'll tell you what, it's a beautiful place. With that being said, I hope that the players are, you know, not distracted in any way. I'm not suggesting that they're, you know, partying or anything, but, you know, let's just make sure we're there to take care of business and get the hell back with a win and healthy.
Hey, man, if we get that win, you're going to see some shenanigans on Monday night coming from Instagram. Something.
I think so, yeah.
It is some sort of party. Some sort of party. I wouldn't blame them. Think about it.
Yeah. Letting loose before having to spend time with family for the rest of the week.
yeah, true. All right, then, Faithful. We'll talk to you guys next week.
All right, guys. Have a good one. We will see you after the Cardinals game.